Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversation. I am Marian Samuel, your host for the program, and with me in the studio is Nurse Cavell Morris-Willis, a senior staff nurse from Clearview Psychiatric Hospital here in Antigua. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
This month is Mental Health Month, and today Nurse Willis will shed some light on this growing issue that is plaguing our society as of late, and it not only affects the old anymore, but the young and the in-between. First question for Nurse Willis is, what is mental health?
Mental health, contrary to what a lot of persons believe, has to do with you every day, how you cope, how you think, how you speak, how you act, your entire being has to do with your mental health. And so a lot of persons tend to mix up mental health with mental illness. And so hence you have the taboo attached to mental health because persons do not understand that your mental health borders on everything that you do, how you operate under normal circumstances, how you operate in your life every day. So how you deal with grieving, how you deal with relationship issues, how you deal with the loss of a job, how you deal with anything, even somebody troubling you. You know, right now we have a lot of conflicts with youth and all of that. It all has to do with conflict resolution, how you operate. So all of this stems on your mental health. This is how we cope, how we live. And so a lot of persons tend to confuse this because right. Once they hear the word mental, they automatically think crazy, you know, and hence the taboo that is attached to this thing. But everybody needs to take care of their mental health because what may affect you may not affect me, or vice versa, or the way you will react to a certain situation, I may not react to that same situation because I may, you know, have some relationship issues and I may decide that I'm just going to cry it off. And then after I cry it off, then I'm going to go party and I'm going to have fun. Another person may go into depression, you know, so it all has to do with it. And it also has to do with your coping skills, your coping mechanism. It also has to do with, you know, some life skills that you would have achieved over life, how you manage stress per se. All of that borders on your mental health.
Could you tell us, what is mental health disorder?
A mental health disorder basically is a deviation from the norm. So while mental health itself has to do with your entire being and how you act, how you behave, how you speak, all of that, mental health disorder or mental illness is on the other continuum. Now it moves from what we would consider the norm or what is societal accepted into a phase where persons are no longer able to cope. So say, for instance, the loss of a loved one. You know, for some persons, you'll cry, you'll feel, because we're all humans, we're attached, you know, we're loving beings. And so when you lose somebody you're close with, nobody expects for you to just be happy and jovial and go about your day-to-day activity. It's going to take an impact on you. It's what happens during that period of that impact and how long you stay into that phase of mourning. Because you have the stages of grieving that persons will go through. But you have some persons who are stuck in a particular phase and they never leave that phase. Or it takes them a longer time to go through that phase, or they have to be assisted to go through that phase. And so this is when the norm moves into a bit of abnormality and persons have to be assisted, whether through counseling, medication, or that.
How should the average person protect their mental health?
Good question. And it's a question that it's not a one size fits all. You know, everybody is different. One of the things that I always encourage persons to do is to change what you can and what you can't. Leave it alone. That is so important. Each of us have to find different ways and means of coping with whatever situations they are going through. If you have to cry, that's why I encourage people. And men are one of the persons who fail to do this because crying shows weakness and crying is like they're no longer macho and it doesn't make them a man if they cry. I don't even encourage you to cry. I encourage you to bawl. If you think that persons are going to think that you are weak, wait until when the rain falling and go and stand in it. So nobody will differentiate between the tears and the raindrops or go to the beach and cry in the water if it is so important that you maintain this masochistic kind of behavior. Because what is happening, and statistics will show that, you'll find more men being affected by mental illness than you do women, because men keep everything bottled up inside of them. You know, like for a woman, we don't mind crying. We could have just paid $1 million for our makeup. And if we have to go to a girlfriend or a friend and we cry, we will pour our hearts out. You will not find a man doing that, because the brethren is, you know, you're not a man. You need to man up, because this is what society says they ought to do. And so I encourage them, cry, express, get it out, because sometimes all you need is just a good ball, you know, and it relieves a lot of stress. As I said, persons need to find coping skills, coping mechanisms that will enable them to go through that period that they're going through. If it means that you have to find a good book, go to the beach and just sit down and watch the sunset. Gardening is very good. Exercising also helps the oxygen to flow and helps the mind, you know, to relax. You can also sing karaoke. If you don't want to go out and do karaoke in the bathroom. You want home, you sing as much. But whatever it takes for you to relieve the tension that you're going through and the stress that you're going through, deep breathing exercises, I always encourage this. It helps a lot. And this is something that you can do at any time, you know, and it helps to relax you a lot. If you need me time, it's something that I encourage everybody to do. You know, sometimes, you know, we're wives, we're husband, we have all kind of different things that we are doing, and we're so engrossed in taking care of everybody else and we forget about us. Me time, even if it is just for a few minutes, just de-stress, just let everything go, just blank out everything. When I get home from work, no matter what is there to be done, I am going to read at least 2 or 3 chapters of my book, or I'm going to play some games on my phone. And when I think that I have relaxed enough, that's the time I will get up and attack whatever I have to do. Because guess what happened? The work will always be there. Everything that you're doing is going to be there. So why not spend some time on you relaxing, getting your mind relaxed, your body relaxed, and then you go and tackle it? Because what's the point of tackling it when you're already tired? You're defeating the purpose. You're just adding more stress to your body. So find some time, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Kudos to you if you can get more than an hour. But make sure you find that every day. That also helps with good mental health practices. If it's for a mother who just have baby, the baby is going to sleep at some point. And before you can go and wash the clothes or prepare anything, take a 10 minutes for yourself. Say, this is my time. So we as human beings, we have to find coping mechanisms that will work for us. It may not work in every situation, but then if you find that one is working for you, continue using it. If it is not working, find something in addition or change it, because every situation is not going to be the same thing.
What are some mental illnesses that is plaguing the homes and the community?
Depression is one of the biggest things, and a lot of persons take that for granted because we think that we can work through whatever we are going through, and locking away ourselves from, you know, our families, things that we usually love, and all of these things. Depression is one of the major problems that we are faced with. And until depression becomes so overbearing, it may not necessarily need hospitalization. And so a lot of persons are walking around in the communities and they are suffering from depression. Persons may not know it, but for your loved ones, you know your loved ones best. Like for a teacher in a classroom, she knows her students. Mm-hmm. Classmates know each other. And so if you see your classmate, student, loved one, you know, behave in a certain kind of how they're usually the life of the party. Now they're no longer that. They're not talking. They're withdrawn. Schoolwork is falling. All of these things, something is happening. Mm-hmm. And this person may not necessarily realize that something is happening to them. They know that they're a little changed, but it might be that, you know, I just feel quiet today, but then that quietness persists. You know, sometimes these are little red flags that, you know, can alert you that something is happening to this person. And we need, you know, a lot of persons will say, but it is not my business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get involved. It is all of our business. Mental health and mental illness is all of our business, because it will impact us in some way or some form. Even if you think it doesn't directly impact you, when this person has to go into the hospital, it's more the government has to spend. If this person has to be in the workplace, it may impact your work, how the person work, and it may affect the income that is coming in, because you don't know what this person may be doing. They may be losing clientele because of this person. So it impacts us, whether directly or indirectly, it impacts us. So it is everybody's business. It's not for us to say, oh, and just, you know, push it aside, which is what a lot of people do with mental health and mental illness. But they don't realize that it's a complete, a holistic thing. Mm-hmm. And it embodies everything that we do, and society is impacted greatly. Mm-hmm. I believe if more persons would pay attention to their mental health, you will have less admission and less crossing over into mental illness.
What are some risk factors of mental health disorder or mental health issues?
Keeping everything bottled up inside. Mm-hmm. Is one. Alcohol usage, I mean, overindulgence, mm-hmm, in, mm-hmm, alcohol use. Same thing for, you have marijuana and also other drugs that they would take as well. Risk factors also have to do with family, you know, hereditary. It may be in the genes coming down. Mm-hmm. It can also have to do with environmental factors. Mm-hmm. Also, like we have COVID. Mm-hmm. COVID is one that knocked us real hard, that a lot of persons didn't know that they have mental health issues, realize that it came out during that period, because a lot of us don't like to be alone. And so that had brought out a lot of issues as well as like natural disasters. Something like fire. You've worked so hard all your life to acquire everything, and this thing just happened suddenly and you lost everything. Mm-hmm. It takes a strong-willed person, a person who has good coping mechanisms, to really bounce back from losing everything.
Is there a correlation between marijuana usage and mental illness?
It does. My professor, when I was doing my mental health training in Jamaica, would beg to differ. Mm. Because he would say that marijuana don't make you go crazy. It does not affect your mental health. What he says is the mixtures. Mm. Because most persons who are smoking marijuana, they don't just smoke straight marijuana. They mix it with all kind of different things, because mm-hmm, they are looking for this high. It's just like when you take cocaine for the first time. You know, you get this high feeling, and so you're always chasing, mm-hmm, that high feeling. And so if you realize that you're not getting this high, then you're going to add other, mm-hmm, things to it in order to achieve this high, and you start graduating to different things. And then a lot of persons are also using it, and they are not eating properly. They are not sleeping properly.
You are listening to Lighthouse Conversation, and the voice you are hearing is that of Cavell Willis, senior staff at the Clearview Psychiatric Hospital here in Antigua. And we are discussing mental health. What should a person with a mental challenge do to stay well?
In order for you to try and stay healthy, is you have to find your own center. your full point. Mm-hmm. You cannot go beyond this level, meaning that you know how much you can tolerate. You know how much you can manage. You have to know when you have reached your turning point and you can't go anymore. And so that is something that we have to recognize in our life, that I can go to this level and there is so much. Also, you have to find ways of coping mechanisms. I cannot stress that enough. Coping mechanisms are important in our everyday life, because this is what is going to keep you grounded. This is what going to keep you centered. Finding ways and means of coping with your situation and knowing when enough is enough, when your cup is full and you can't go anymore. It makes no sense. You're going. You know your cup has overflowed a long time ago and you are just walking around like a ticking time bomb, just waiting to go off. It's just as if you are on a job and you're so frustrated with this job to the point where you start thinking all kind of things. You know that this is either the time for me to take a break, if you need to get a sick leave, if you need to take vacation leave, or if you need to just change that job. Because no job is more important than me maintaining my mental health. I would prefer walk away from it. So you have to know how much you can take before you reach boiling point.
If you can pinpoint two main causes of admittance into the psychiatric hospital, what would they be?
Suicide attempt. That is something that we usually don't play around with. Once that person expresses the desire to kill themselves, you don't waste time. Because though some may be empty threats, some are really valid, and you never know which one is valid, so you never take that chance. Another one is if they become a threat to themselves or community, they definitely have to be admitted, you know, because you don't want to wait until, if you have a report of, you know, a relative running somebody down the road with a knife or threatening to kill them, you're not going to wait until it reached that point. You take that person out of that environment, you treat them until that ideation has dissipated or the conditions had changed that would have triggered that person into that kind of belief.
Can your mental health change overnight?
I wouldn't say overnight. I think it's a gradual process, not unless it may be overnight if it's like a acute case, in the sense of probably like an accident, a death of a loved one, a fire, something that just happened suddenly. It can, but most of the times it's a gradual change. You start getting a little red flag here, a little thing there. Something is happening. That's why when some persons, you know, will come and say, I don't know when she start behaving like that. But, you know, it's little things. But persons, because they are not observant enough or they're not paying enough attention to the person, we tend to miss these little red flags, these little signs that is coming on the person. Not, they usually come to work, they're always dolled up, you know, always clean and everything. Now, you see the clothes coming a little wrinkled, you know, it coming dirty, they're kind of carrying a little body odor, you know, the hair is unkempt, you know, they're not talking, you know, they're sitting in a corner by themselves. All of these little things are a little red flag. So all of these are like gradual behavior, but most persons don't see it because they're minding their own business. And so they said they don't want to get involved. And especially if the person is not the type of person that you can come and you can say, what's happening today? I noticed that, you know, your hair is a little unkempt. You know, some person brought it and said, but yeah, man, my business. So, you know, especially if it's not a person that you can approach, a lot of persons may not. They may miss these gradual signs. Or even a person that is usually good-tempered, you realize they start getting very aggressive. Yeah, something is happening.
How can family members and the community support a person with a mental challenge?
Love them. I would say love them. Persons who are encountering mental challenges, they already feel bad. And you don't want to let them feel worse mm-hmm. about themselves. It is already affecting them because mental illness, it's a debilitating illness. It's already affecting them, how they carry themselves, how they behave. They're already feeling bad. And when persons in the community see these things happening and they edge them on, they throw water on them, they kick them out of the house, they video these things and they laugh and they encourage them in certain things, it is making them feel less of a person. And you don't want anybody to feel less than a human being. Because I can tell people, mental illness, it can happen to anyone at any time. Like in all my bio, I would end with, there's a thin line between sanity and insanity. Mm. And nobody knows when they will cross that line. Some people say, oh, that will never happen to me. Yeah, it may not happen to a lot of persons, but it is going to happen to a lot of us. And if certain situation changes, you never know how you're going to react with it. You never know. Because I would consider myself a mental health practitioner. I know the different signs on all of these things. But when I had encountered my experience where I had gotten shot and I started having post-traumatic stress disorder. I started suffering. I couldn't sleep. I wasn't eating. I started having suicidal ideations and all of these things. And this was just something that never planned for it, because I never planned for this masked man to enter my house mm-hmm. and all of this attempted to rape me and all of these things. This wasn't something that was planned, but it did happen. Mm-hmm. And so I suffered for a period of time. But the good thing about me is that I had good support. Mm-hmm. I had good family support. I had good work support. I had good spiritual support. And I have had opportunities to talk about my experience. So that also helped in my healing. And hence, I can do what I'm doing now. You have some persons that don't have this kind of support. And so they get lost in the system, and they dig deeper into whatever they're going through. So community members, if you see somebody or family members who are behaving outside of their normal behavior, don't shun them. Don't put them out of their house. Some of these people work for all their lives and build their house, you know, and for you to just push them out of their own home and put them into the mental hospital and all of these things, it does a lot for them, you know, especially if they would have contributed so much to the society. It's like you're just casting them aside like some rejected object. Nobody wants that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. So put yourself in that person's place. They say you never know what a person is going through until you have walked a mile in their shoe. And for me, my whole idea and my whole thinking of mental health changed when I walked a mile mm-hmm. in that shoe. And so I know it is not easy when a person is experiencing these things. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be cognizant. We have to be more humane in how we handle persons who may be experiencing mental health challenges, because we never know when the shoe may change.
Yeah.
Never know.
How does the medical benefits scheme support the Clearview Psychiatric Hospital?
Medical benefits. It was just recently I'm learning of all the things that they were doing behind the scenes. Mm. I only thought that, you know, they were the ones that were responsible for medication. But then I was told that they assist with like in-service education, and they are really the powerhouse behind the scene. It's the one that, you know, you're getting this help, mm-hmm. but you don't know where this help coming from. You know, that they're the strong tower. They're the backbones. They're always there to assist. Mm-hmm. You know, they're responsible for all the medications that we get, all the procurements that need to get sometimes with instruments, equipment, all of these different things. They are the backbone behind of that in getting sponsorship for certain things. They are also the backbone for that also.
What are the services offered at Clearview Psychiatric Hospital?
We do in-house, because we have outpatients. We have outpatient clinic. We have mobile.
Oh.
because you have some persons who have challenges or persons who will not come for their medication. So we have a team that will go out to these homes, do home visits, and they will administer their medications there. And of course, we have social worker that is in-house and for those who are already admitted. So we have admittance, we have outpatient clinics, and we have mobile units that goes out and administer medication.
How can one access Clearview Psychiatric Hospital to get the necessary help needed?
There is where it becomes a little bit tricky, mm-hmm. because Clearview does not do walk-ins. Okay. You can't just walk in off the road and decide that, you know what, I need to talk to a doctor right now because I feel like something is happening with me or something is changing. It is done through a referral system, and this is where we have to cover ourselves, because you have a lot of mental illnesses or a lot of conditions that mimics mental illnesses. Mm. And so you don't want to treat somebody who is undergoing a medical condition with mental illness medications.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we would usually encourage is that persons would either visit Mount St. John's or their private doctor. And if they're going through Mount St. John or even their private doctor, they would have to do a series of tests. So they have to do something like CT brain, because you want to ensure that there's no growth that is growing on the brain that is causing this change in behavior. They have to do a chest x-ray, because sometimes like pneumonia, all these different things can also allow these persons to behave. They mm-hmm. have to do a number of blood tests, because you don't want to, if the person is going through something like a thyroid storm, you know, the person would be displaying certain behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, if the person's blood sugar drops too low, it can allow them, or they would start behaving erratic. And so persons may misconstrue it as a mental illness. So we have to clear. So you go through, Mount St. John will do these things, CT, brain, chest x-ray, urine toxicology. They want to ensure that it's not some drugs that they would have taken while they're behaving that way. And so you rule out everything medically. If after all these tests are normal, then now they are referred over to psych. And this is where psych would step in, because now we know that it's not a medical condition that is causing that behavior. It's because of some psychiatric changes that is occurring with them. And so they will be treated for psych. So once all these tests comes in, the doctor will go over it, review it, and then they will start their treatment. If the person needs to be admitted, however, we have to go through what we call the court system. The court has to give us permission for that admission. So a court order is prepared, usually by a police officer. It is taken before the magistrate. The magistrate signs off on it, giving us the permission to admit and treat this person. And then the person is admitted at the hospital. So nobody can just come and just admit. We have to clear ourselves. And all of this, it kind of saves us from mitigations as well. Because we would have covered all our ends where mm-hmm. that is concerned.
Any last words, Nurse Willis?
Just for persons to be mindful that mental health is not mental illness. It has to do with us generally and how we cope with different situations. And for persons to not aggravate a person who is experiencing a mental health challenge, because it is already debilitating for that person, it's already affecting them, and we don't want anybody to, you know, encourage them to tip over. Mindful of what you say to each other, because sometimes a single word or a single action may determine whether you're going to push that person over the edge. You know, sometimes even for persons who have suicidal ideations, just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time may be the pushover for that person. So just be mindful. Try being more kind and more loving to each other, more empathetic towards other persons' situations and causes. And just love. Love, mm-hmm. self-love, human love. Just love each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Nurse Willis, from the Clearview Psychiatric Hospital, for coming and having a conversation on mental health illness. how important it is for our psychological and emotional well-being, our emotional well-being. So thank you very much for coming and sharing. Really appreciate it.
It was my privilege. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or Lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.